www.tom.com.
Live long and prosper, and that's just what Star Trek did over the weekend. We have the box office totals, and wait till you hear what it costs to make the movie. Power tools caused the wildfires in California, at least that's what they suspect. Thank goodness those fires are being doused. Miss New Jersey gets jail time. What about Miss California? Well, they're not talking about throwing her in the slammer, but she could lose her crown. In the meantime, the funny over the weekend was something to be had. I'll tell you, the place to be was the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Wanda Sykes was certainly on her game, as was, I have to say, the President of the United States, Barack Obama. Here's a taste of that.
No matter which party you belong to, we can all agree that Michelle has the right to bear arms.
And, of course, you understand that, right? The right to bear arms, it's the whole gun thing, but really it's her guns because she's been working out. So she's got some serious great armage going on, and women across America are buzzing about it. And the Republican Party, of course, a favorite target for the president, as you would expect. Wanda Sykes had some funny in her bag as well.
Underpaid. That's right. Pay the teachers more money. Maybe then they'll stop sleeping with the students. Nice. What's up? You and Joe Biden now get the hamburgers. The two of you can't hang out together. I mean, whose idea was that? Nancy Pelosi's?
You gotta love that. I like Wanda Sykes, and she seemed like she was really in her element. She was the entertainer. She obviously ripped at Obama in different directions you could hear there. I thought one of the funny things she said, she talked about giving the Queen of England an iPhone during the recent visit, because, of course, we ripped on that. Like, what are you thinking? And she said, what are you going to give the Pope, a Bluetooth? And then there were a couple of other things she said. Pretty funny. We'll let you hear some more of that throughout the show. $200 a ticket, that's what the dinner cost to get in. It was VIPs aplenty, not just the Beltway bores. You had, a lot of Hollywood people, Eva Longoria Parker, of course, from Desperate Housewives, Ashton Kutcher, Twitter fame, movies, etc., Christian Slater, yada, 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 Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order, SVU, also Steven Spielberg, John Bon Jovi, that kind of thing. Now, all the money raised from the dinner actually goes to feed the hungry and fund some journalism scholarships. Close to $100,000, I believe, is what the haul was for the dinner. Yeah, it's funny, $100,000 to me doesn't sound like a lot. It was $200 a plate, so how many get in? I guess it is a pretty decent chunk of change. Not that anything to feed anybody who's hungry isn't good, but I guess I was kind of surprised about the price for that. I would have thought it would have been a little bit more. So like I said, we'll let you hear more of that throughout the show. Now, a couple of other interesting things happened over the weekend, and I think the best thing that happened is the fact that the California fires, thank goodness, have been doused. I mean, they're still burning somewhat, but not to the level they were where you had 80-some homes destroyed. You know, it scorched 13 square miles. Think of 13 square miles in those hills in this incredibly scenic, beautiful part of the United States. Since I lived in Santa Barbara, I can tell you, I mean, it's like God's country, I'm telling you. I've lived a lot of places, I've seen a lot of beaches, but this stuff is incredible, and I'm sure that the views from those houses were outstanding, but unfortunately not anymore. And what they're saying is it was a power tool thing. I'll explain in a second. Hope you had a great weekend. And by the way, happy Mother's Day. Kate Delaney here for the big 4 hours of America tonight. Remember, anytime during the show, you can dial these digits, 800-259-5791, or shoot us one of those quick-witted emails at americatonight.net. They don't have to be quick-witted, but you know what I'm saying. Because we will definitely read the emails on the air. In fact, over the weekend, I got a ton of them, and we'll talk about it. So the thing with the power tools, I was talking to somebody from the Santa Barbara News Press, a reporter, to find out more about what was happening. And then the story broke that they were, investigating. They think it was probably a group of people. They were clearing vegetation on a private plot of land. near a trail, and then that's kind of when the fire erupted. So when you're talking about power tools, there's always the possibility, I guess I didn't really think about this, when the conditions are right, you have the winds, it's like a tinderbox, I've said that before, and something sparked it and it just went up. And here's the weird thing about this. Well, you know this, when you live in certain wooded areas, you know how they put these notes on your door? And some of the people in Santa Barbara County got these annual notices about, yo, get your crap out of here. Meaning, if you have hazardous brush, clear it out. So they think that's what was happening. If this is the case, you know, they can't be sure. They just say it looks like this. Then that's what happened. They were trying to get the brush cleared like they were told they were supposed to do. The interesting thing is they weren't telling you too much about the specifics of what they use, the type of power tool, because will someone face charges for this or not? You would think not. If they were clearing the brush, which they were told to get rid of the brush because it was hazardous, and then it happens to spark it, causes an incredible amount of damage, but I don't know that you could charge anyone with anything. Altogether, 31 homes completely demolished, 47 others massively damaged, and of course, 30,000 people had to be told to leave their homes to head out because the flames were too close or they were in their backyard or whatever. That's a lot of people in that area. So, good news is, as of right now, I checked about an hour before we went on the air, as of right now, 55% contained. That's a good thing. So can we have a round of applause from the live studio audience for those firefighters who are just dog tired, exhausted, and working round the clock? Do you know how many firemen were out there trying to fight this fire? 4,500. Could even actually be a little bit more, but they know that at least that's what was on the, that's how many were on the scene. 4,500. Wow. What happened to that studio audience? I think they fell asleep. I don't know, maybe they're reading the previews of the Star Trek movie. I don't know. I promise we'll have a round of applause once we wake them up. Once we wake them up, we'll get you that applause, you firemen out there listening to us right now. So not as bad as one that happened when I lived there. There was one that happened when I lived there that, man, knocked out like 550 homes. I think I talked about it on the air where people had animals and they were frantically trying to get out and they were loading the animals in the back of vans, cars. I mean, they were trying to drag horses out. It was so sad. And they managed, the one that I covered, it went on for probably 5 days. They managed to get most of the animals out and stuff, but there was actually some people who died in that fire, and it was pretty tough. So this one at least didn't burn as many houses down, and they actually think they traced it to what it was. The one that I covered was arson, which that's what you automatically jump to. That's automatically what you think is, oh, I have a bad feeling about this one. As I said, we're going to jump into a couple of other things, obviously politics, politics, and more politics, because, of course, the talking heads couldn't stand it. Pakistan and where we stand with Pakistan and Afghanistan, that'll come up a little bit later in the show, too. But coming up next, we're going to talk to Mark Olson. He co-authored a book called Animal Colony. And Animal Colony is pretty interesting. It's about where we're headed in this government. So hang with us on ATN.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true. Seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country. And it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, Non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Are you tired of losing your hard-earned savings in retirement? Does the continued loss of purchasing power through the hidden tax of inflation brought on by trillions of dollars in government bailouts bother you? Then please let me, Dwayne Daly, with Midas Resources, help you to protect what you have left. Call me at 800-686-2237 extension 115, and I will explain to you how to retain your wealth and purchasing power now and in the future with gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a form of currency for 6,000 years compared to our present fiat currency, which has only been in existence for 38 years and failing fast. Call me, Dwayne Daly, at 800-686-2237 extension 115 to start your protection of wealth today. I will custom fit the protection package to your personal needs. No amount is too small, so start today. Call Dwayne Daly with Midas Resources at 800-686-2237 extension 115 for your gold and silver protection portfolio.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious tasting chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard to digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Headed into another work week, and happy tail end of Mother's Day for people listening to us. Like I said, I know our buddies, and I have some friends that are out there in Santa Barbara. Our thoughts go to you because it was just crazy. What an inferno for the last couple of days. That's the applause. Yeah, I told you they were there. We just had to get them some Starbucks coffee. Anyway, the audience alive and well, and that applause is for all the firefighters. Almost 5,000 of them, 5,000 there, trying to help out and save human life is the most important thing. But, of course, all that land, beautiful area out in the hills there. Now they think, as I said, tracing it to power tools, trying to clear the brush out. Joining us now on the show, this is like one of my favorite things to talk about. Didn't I say that the reason I started this show 3.5 years ago was because we get too much reaction in the Beltway, and I was about smaller government, right? So there's this book called Animal Colony. And that's a little slice of what it's about, kind of highlighting, I think, the dangers of what socialism could do. So Animal Colony was written by Mark Olson and Dr. Thomas Allen Rexroth. And Mark Olson joins us to talk about this fabulous new book. Mark, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Now, you know, I'm sure I didn't give it a good enough buildup, but that basically is it. We're talking about limited government, kind of individual freedom. How did this book all come about?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is it actually started with my co-author more than a year and a half ago, before the election and before the economic madness of the last couple of months. But he was even upset even then at the turn that America had taken towards being a nanny state. And so he wanted to do basically an American version of Animal Farm. Instead of skewering, you know, Stalin and Soviet communism, he wanted to use the brilliant form of a story with barnyard animals and the incredible persuasiveness that had to just let people see what was at stake if we continue down this path of the entitlement culture and of, you know, more and more taxes, more and more promises, more and more handouts.
Yeah, and you started, I'm a big fan of history. I grew up in Philly, and so I did the whole thing with the forts and, you know, up and down the East Coast, not just in Philadelphia, but up and down the East Coast when I was a kid, learning all about, of course, escaping British tyranny. So you start there, don't you, in Animal Colony?
We do. It's actually a completely American version. It's the animals of Jamestown, actually, and they are looking around. It's the beginning of a very harsh winter. They realize that their masters have failed and that they're going to probably be slaughtered for meat instead of being kept around. And so they have nowhere to go. One of them has a vision of a place where they can have a life of their own and live in prosperity and liberty. And so they actually stage a mass escape from Jamestown and have this incredibly adventurous trek through the wilderness. They find an abandoned Indian village. And that's where they start a colony of their own, Animal Colony. And we try to stay faithful in many kind of structural ways to a lot of the passages of real American history. For instance, you probably know, having studied it, that there was a period of pure communism, basically, mm-hmm. early in American history, where everybody, it was all for one and one for all, and it was a horrible disaster. Governor Bradford had to step in and mm-hmm. Implement private ownership to save the whole everybody's life.
Yeah, and the idea, and you know, it's funny talking about Animal Farm because, of course, I read that when I was in school. I'm sure you read that when you were in school as well. It was just assigned like twice to me, even in college. I think we went back and looked at Animal Farm. And is that what you're hoping happens here? That a lot of the schools will also pick up on this?
Absolutely. We wrote it to be very fast reading and to be easily read by young people, and exactly for that reason. We really hope that this can be one of those books like Uncle Tom's Cabin, like The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, like Animal Farm, that's going to come out and just grab the national imagination, because we're just very concerned that a lot of people aren't getting what's at stake here. They've been so bamboozled by the you know, all the fog of media bias and the cult of personality around the president, and they're just not getting it. And sometimes in American history, when something like that happens, it takes something as simple and basic as a story, even one, you know, about barnyard animals, to really do something. We actually gave this book to two hardcore liberal Obama supporters. They read it straight through the night. They both called the next morning and said they were changing their vote, and they both made statements to the effect that they wished every kid they knew could read this book.
Wow, that's certainly high praise for Animal Colony. How are you going to break through that web? Because you and I both know that. Then what you have is the blocks that you'll get at the educational levels, right?
Yeah, and we're just getting started on that, and we know that institutionally, we definitely, you know, have some barriers, you know, some ideological barriers with some of the people in leadership. We're gonna try to start with things like the homeschooling community and maybe the religious school community, and just work our way in from there. So, and
you know,
then, in the public at large, we're trying to basically talk to folks like you and people, you know, talk show hosts. We feel like the talk show world is a great avenue for us.
Sure, so, to get the word out about the book, definitely, there's no question about that. But, you know, it's interesting, in looking at Animal Colony, the one thing that's interesting you could take out of this, there's this myth that's being pushed out there that if you are liberal, then you are kind, caring, wonderful, you're about saving the environment, all that sort of stuff, and so therefore you must be a liberal. But that's not true. I think that's part of the problem with the Republican Party right now, that there really is, if you go back to the conservative movement, there really isn't in that movement a push to conserve, to be concerned about the environment. So that label isn't necessarily true, right?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it is bizarre to me how you know, you can be labeled as kind and giving when you're actually just getting people enslaved and addicted to your handouts. And if you come along and try to help those people, to wean them off of that addiction, then you're accused of taking, you know, food out of the mouths of babes, you know, literally and figuratively, and of being cold and uncaring. And it's as though if the government doesn't do it, nobody can do it. We've completely forgotten that we used to help each other through things in the old days, like family, like community, like churches, like, you know, just our extended networks. Because now if you oppose the government doing it, you're accused of trying to eliminate help altogether. And that's completely false.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw that Ralph Reed endorsed the book, and Ralph Reed is a friend of the show. We've had him on, and he's great. There are plenty of people that could call themselves liberal that actually like Ralph, and there are plenty of people that are obviously conservative, et cetera, that like Ralph. He's got amazing experiences that he could talk about with his White House experiences, and he really endorsed it. He said that, you know, it shows that there are the dangers of collectivism and socialism, that, you know, this book is entertaining and informative. So in other words, it's not a how-to book or a pound you over the head book. That's why you weaved in the animals, right?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of a lot of these great nonfiction books like Mark Levin's and so forth that have come out. But I think that a lot of those, even though they're popular, they tend to appeal to, you know, the choir. And what we're hoping to do with Animal Colony is to give those folks who have people they care about and they just can't seem to get the point across, and, you know, they don't want to spend any more hours debating with them over the water cooler, just to give them a tool to truly change their mind. And, you know, nothing's easier than giving somebody a book and just saying, hey, you know, read this story and tell me what you think. Nothing's more disarming than that. So that's all I've been hearing lately is the conservative movement saying, wow, if only we had a tool to get the message across. And so I just think, you know, if you're listening tonight and you've got somebody like that you care about and you haven't been able to get through to, just, you know, go on Amazon.com or AnimalColonyBook.com and order a couple copies of the book and just let it do the work for you.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Mark Olson, thanks. Good luck with the book. We appreciate you joining us here on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Animal Colony, as he said, is the name of the book. Amazon.com. You can bang up Amazon.com. Easy way to pull it up there. On the flip side, odds and ends. What happened over the weekend around the world? We'll tell you next.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. products. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com, or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Have you ever read the ingredients in your skin creams, personal hygiene products, vitamins, or herbal supplements? Did you know that most skin creams, body lotions, shampoos, and toothpastes contain chemical additives such as sodium lauryl sulfate, the same type of detergent used in dish soap? Did you know that many multivitamin supplements are made from synthetic vitamins? Do your herbal remedies have unwanted additives and fillers? Have you ever tested your body's pH level? Make the change to organic health and beauty products. Visit TubeNatural.com and order today. TubeNatural.com carries exclusive, all-natural, chemical-free skin care, hair care, whole food vitamins, herbal remedies, and alkaline body balance supplements. Visit TubeNatural.com. That's TobeNatural.com. TubeNatural.com. Use coupon code RADIO for 15% discount and free alkaline food chart. Call 1-888-417-1375. That's 1-888-417-1375 to order or request your free catalog.
Tuned in. This is America Tonight. My name is Kate Delaney. Hope you remembered your mom, whether you sent her some flowers, even if you just gave her a call, took her out to brunch, whatever it might be. Nice time to get together with the family. Of course, the next time, mark your calendars, is in June for Father's Day, right? This show, coming up on this show, we're going to lighten the load a little bit later because we have knock-knock jokes. Oh, lucky you. Starting off the week with some knock-knock jokes. And I'll tell you how that works coming up around the bend. But right now, what's happening around the world, especially Afghanistan and Pakistan, because we've got concerns there, right? And we have soldiers on the front lines in Afghanistan trying to suppress the dreaded Taliban and do anything they can to endear themselves to the people. Hamid Karzai, the president of that country, not thrilled, obviously, by that last U.S. Taliban battle, because there were casualties, civilian casualties. We talked about it last week, up to 130 people dead. Now there's this concern over these unusual burns on some of the villagers. And what they believe it is white phosphorus. Now the American military is saying, no, we're not using, we didn't use that in the battle. We didn't use the white phosphorus, because what it is it's a flammable kind of material that leaves chemical burns on the flesh. And you use the white phosphorus to illuminate a target or create smoke so that you can see where it is. But now there are a lot of human rights groups that are jumping in some of these populated areas and saying, look, you are burning people. This is burning the people, the chemicals, and it's going to constitute a war crime to you. So, Hamid Karzai, as you could tell last week when he met on Thursday with President Obama, and of course the President of Pakistan as well, Zardari was there, you could see the, I think the smoke coming out of his ears when they went to that little presser. Here's what he had to say on Meet the Press about the situation with the U.S. Army in Afghanistan.
A lot of damage. This is something that I've been engaged with our allies for at least 6 years now.
And you talked to President Obama about it?
Oh, very, very much. For at least 6 years now, in different ways, in different forms. The Afghan people are allies of the United States. The Afghan people want this effort together to succeed. The Afghan people see that the presence of the international community in Afghanistan brings us plenty of good things. But Afghan people also want to have their children safe. Afghan people say we are fighting together with you, shoulder to shoulder against terrorism, that we are part of the struggle, that we are not, our homes, our villages are not places for terrorism, and that they should be safe. It's an important thing that America recognize that civilian casualties are the biggest concern in Afghanistan and a damage to the effort against terrorism.
All right, here's the thing, and you know, I was just talking about that white phosphorus and whether or not that chemical was used, and there was controversy over that. Well, in Kabul, and this happened earlier in the day, hundreds of people marched near the university there, and of course, they were screaming anti-American things, protesting the U.S. military being there, and in the deaths of the 130 people that I mentioned, they were carrying lots of anti-American slogans. So that deal that happened in Farah drew massive, massive attention. And certainly the condemnation of Karzai, who you just heard there talking about it, who's calling for an end to airstrikes, saying forget the airstrikes. But the National Security Advisor says he's not going to end airstrikes. And how can you not use airstrikes if you think about that area in Afghanistan? So I think this is building up to get a little bit worse. Now, here's another thing that Karzai said about troops coming into Afghanistan and why the timeline is a little bit screwed up.
When we began in 2001 with the arrival of the international community in Afghanistan, and the Afghan people and the international community joining hands, we together defeated the Taliban and the terrorists and Al-Qaeda in less than a month and a half. Subsequent to that, the Afghan people would, as we established the interim government, would come in large numbers, hundreds of them, to my office and ask for more international forces in the country, in their villages, in their towns, in their districts. That didn't happen at that time. So in that sense, the arrival of more forces is late. It should have happened then. 6 years ago, and we should have paid attention then 6 years ago to the sanctuaries, to the training grounds, to the those financing the terrorists. It's a bit late, but as we all know, it's never too late for a good thing to do.
All right, you heard the last part. It's never too late for a good thing to do, but he started out saying, listen, you know, this should have happened before 6 years ago, and here we are in this situation. But still, he was smart enough to say at the end, well, you know, any help we can get, because Afghanistan, of course, is in trouble, and there's going to be a lot more about the airstrikes and this white phosphorus, because that's something, if you remember in Fallujah, they use it to illuminate the targets, as I said. I don't know how you get around that with airstrikes, and I think that there are going to be more problems down the road and probably more protests as well. As for Pakistan, of course, they're concerned about India. However, the push to Islamabad is very dangerous, as we know. We talked about ad nauseum last week with Pakistan and what should happen here and how much should we help the folks in Pakistan. A lot of you called and said, well, you know what? We can't be everywhere. We can't be everything to everybody. President Zardari talked about about what's happening there and talked about whose war it actually is against this bloody Taliban.
No, I consider the philosophy of Taliban a threat to the world, not just to Pakistan and your country, but I feel it's a larger threat. Pakistan, the whole world, I mean, they start from the Horn of Africa and come down all the way to Pakistan. They don't evolve from Pakistan and go up. They come down. I consider it's a different... India is a country and Pakistan is a state. We're two states which, in fact, Pakistan stemmed out of the subcontinent, out of India. So it's a different relationship. It's a different context. There is a war, sir. It's a war of our existence. We've been fighting this war much before they attacked 9/11. They're kind of a cancer created by both of us, Pakistan and America, and the world. We got together, we created this cancer to fight the superpower. And then we went away, rather you went away, without finding a cure for it. And now we've both come together to find a cure for it, and we're looking for one.
All right, so you heard that. We've come together, so kind of a little bit like the tail end of Karzai, because they're not going to kick sand completely, even in an American interview on a Sunday show with David Gregory or a sit-down with David Gregory. They're not going to kick sand in the United States' face completely if you still want help. Here's the other thing that they talked about. They talked about how many troop members were there and also about the people actually fighting this one.
No, I think it's a joint responsibility. I think it's a joint responsibility of all the democracies of the world. That's why we made this Friends of Democratic Pakistan, so we can bring more strength to the situation. You've got to admit that you all have been trying to battle it for the last 8 years. World powers have been trying to battle it for the last 8 years in Afghanistan, and nobody's come out a victor as yet.
Okay.
Three times the amount of troops you have battling them in Afghanistan. That's 125,000 we have on ground. There is a point of view that more men might improve the situation, but that's something, it's still disputed by our military analysts. We don't think that more presence of more troops there. You must remember 650 personnel strong army doesn't mean they're all infantry. That's the fighting brigade is the infantry. That's the teeth of the army. So they're not all infantry. They're tank drivers, they're truck drivers, they're other gunners, etc., etc. So we have an infantry of 250,000, out of which 125,000 happens to be in those mountains.
All right, and what's happening now is, of course, people are leaving, they're fleeing on, you know, on foot, rickshaws, on motorbikes, animal-pulled carts, anything. If you've seen any of the pictures, this is radio, obviously, but just the picture of a village with people fleeing, and that's what you see, this mass exit. It's very different from, you know, when you go to the movies and you see people fleeing in the United States. Everybody's in their car, we're going over bridges, whatever. You know, you got to remember this terrain and where it is. So coming out of this one little village and just fleeing literally in a rickshaw, it's just wild to see these people. And then you've got not too far down the road, you have fighter jets swarming around, and you have these Taliban fighters all over the place, and they're in and out of the valley, and they're trying to get into that stretch, still trying to get there, eke their way into that 60 miles from the capital, which is Islamabad, of course, and the army trying to hold them off. The army signaling now that they're going to get, I think, that much more intense, because, you know, they're losing a lot of their soldiers. 400 to 500 is the last that they talked about that they've lost in this. So it's a pretty bloody fight, no doubt. And you look at that terrain and you look at the Taliban and the area where they were training, it's pretty tough. I mean, there's even one area I heard over the weekend where you've got about 100,000 displaced Pakistanis. And that happened on Sunday. So people are loaded for bear with everything, bumper to bumper, in whatever it is that they're on, whether foot, etc., just trying to get away in the northwest district of Mardan. That's the two big things happening around the world. We have more coming up on the flip side.
world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from PepperSpray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams.
Everybody, Kate Delaney, America tonight, heading in to another weekend and wrapping up another week. Hope you had a good weekend and had a chance to spend some time with your family. Those holiday weekends are usually great for that. Maybe you haven't seen your mother in a long time or other people important or significant in your life. Long Live and Prosper, as I said at the top of this one, was a big weekend for Star Trek. We're going to talk about that in our second hour. Also, what's going to happen with Miss California, Carrie Prejean, as we spent a lot of time on Miss California. We've been through the ups and downs of this story already with the fact that the people in California paid for the fake boobs and then how the whole thing started with the question from Perez Hilton about, hey, by the way, what do you think of gay marriage, blah, blah, blah. And so on and so forth. And now these pictures, and one by one, they're trickling out. Isn't that interesting? Donald Trump is going to decide her fate, whether or not she gets the axe and loses the crown, I guess. In the meantime, we're going to hand out the daily salute pretty early. We already gave the big fat round of applause from our live studio audience, of course, to the firefighters. They certainly deserve a salute. And we've been doing that almost every single night since that fire broke out in California. Sad to learn that it's probably going to be traced back to power tools. Somebody just abiding by what the county said to do And who knew it sparked this giant fire that's been out of control, because that's what they were trying to avoid, trying to get everything clear so they wouldn't have a fire. And lo and behold, it ended up being a horrific tinderbox with so many people trying to do whatever they could to put things out. And it was an emergency, a state of emergency for California. Anyway, the daily salute goes to Jay Leno. And the reason that I'm giving the daily salute to Jay Leno is the fact that this guy just got out of the hospital for exhaustion. I mean, you know, hey, he lives the high life. He has passion for his job. He makes oodles and oodles of cash. There's no doubt about it. But the cool thing about Jay Leno is he obviously gives back. And I just don't mean checks to charity. But he's doing a lot of these free stand-up performances for people who are really down and out. Because if you've looked at the latest unemployment figures, I mean, we're almost at 9%. That's just crazy bad. And in some of the Midwest, parts of the Midwest, it's awful. Obviously, we know in Michigan, our good friends in Michigan, in Kalamazoo, have called to tell us how bad it is, relatives in Detroit, et cetera, because of the auto industry. In Ohio, same thing. The jobless rate is ridiculously high. So Jay Leno went out, did another one of those free stand-up things he does for 4,000 people who are out of work and probably could just use a smile. Because anymore, when you're applying for jobs, it's if you don't have a leg up or know somebody, I don't care if you're a blue-collar worker, white-collar worker, have a degree, don't have a degree, whatever the circumstances, it's pretty tough. I mean, I was talking to someone the other day about, and this was somebody in California, it was for an administrative job, and she didn't have a secondary degree, but she had massive experience, massively incredibly talented and references and everything else. And 200 people applied for the job, well, of course, and she didn't get it. But I keep hearing the story over and over again. And the thing that's weird about this is for the people who do have job openings, I'm sure they're finding they get these overqualified people in an avalanche of resumes. It's not, oh, here's some people that are applying, here's my little pile, and some are just absolutely have to be weeded out, and some of these people are pretty good, and, geez, here's my top five. They're overwhelmed with resumes and trying to figure out what direction to go into. So for somebody hiring, it's probably pretty good. You have a good chance to get somebody perfect maybe for the position since you have an avalanche of choices. But for the people looking, boy, that is tough, tough competition. So anyway, the point of telling you this is the fact that we do hand out, as much as we shove people in the dungeon, we also hand out daily salutes. So I think he gets that because he does not have to put himself through this. He doesn't have to log the miles on his body. And yeah, so 4,000 people, and he calls it his comedy stimulus tour. And, you know, he was in a place called, he was in Wilmington, and there's about 12,000 people or so in that area. And it's gotten national attention because they really are struggling economically. It's one of those small, small, small communities. And in fact, many of the presidential candidates went through there, if you remember last fall, before the elections, and talked to some of the people. There was 8,000 workers who were employed at a place called Air Park about a year ago when DHL Express said that they were pulling out of there. So a lot of people lost jobs, and then more people are going to lose their jobs this summer, so in another month or so, when DHL completely pulls out, because they left some people while they were whittling themselves away. So that's great that he does that, you know, in Detroit, in Ohio, all over the place. And I guess he's just going to continue to do it, is what he says when he calls it the stimulus tour. And it probably goes a long way for people who are struggling to figure out what they're going to do, you know, on the computer, applying for jobs, calling people they know. And it's funny because we had Mark Olson on talking about Animal Colony, and I'm, as you know, I'm for the whole smaller government, less government intervention and that kind of stuff. And I say this all the time, and I really mean this. I think it's about stimulating your own economy in your own area, helping the people in your neighborhood, buying local, helping the mom and pop store and restaurants and all that sort of stuff. And that way a lot of those places can survive and maybe thrive again. And you know, who knows who among you you know, it down in your neighborhood in the streets who could be a out of work auto mechanic or could do some of those incidental jobs. I'm finding that more and more because in running into people who are out of work, that's the kind of jobs they're picking up. And the only reason they're picking them up is because people start to network and they start to talk and they realize, oh, well, I could use you here and I could use you there. And then before you know it, they're picking up 20, 30 hours a week. And probably even if they're still looking, they feel a lot better about it because they've got some income coming in if they're not getting unemployment or if it doesn't interfere with the unemployment because the unemployment wasn't that much. All right, and this is, as we give it the daily salute, this is the bad guy, really, of the weekend. And this story, of course, came down last week, late last week, about Drew Peterson. I mean, is there a bigger, and I'm not going to sugarcoat, is there a bigger scumbag on the planet? I mean, his fourth wife disappeared. She's 23 years old. They don't have any clue where she is. They suspect him. Finally, they nailed this sucker. He's being charged with the murder of his third wife, who was found in a dry bathtub dead, and the family just knew something was off. Well, now his attorney is asking the judge to reduce this former cop, because he was a former suburban Chicago cop, and this was the surprising thing, I think, to a lot of people who early in his life knew him. And his bond is $20 million. Well, his attorney's saying, listen, this is ridiculous. How about a reasonable level? And, of course, the attorney holds a big Sunday news conference and talks about the bond should be anywhere between $500,000 and $1 million, and that's what the other murder cases in Will County are set for. It's excessive and it's ridiculous and whatever. He didn't use the word ridiculous, but he said it was excessive. He hasn't been getting that bad at the side of the judge. So Peterson in jail for first-degree murder of his wife, third wife, Kathleen Savio. And he, of course, is suspected in the 2007 disappearance of his fourth wife, who was just a kid in her 20s, Stacy Peterson. If they reduce the bond, Peterson probably can pay it, and then he'll go free while he waits trial. And that's going to take a little time. As you know, the wheels of justice churn a little bit slow. So I don't think that this is going to be any rush to the courtroom by the time they go through picking the jury and everything else. I mean, please. And the attorney really laid it on thick. He kept saying, you know, this is a guy, a former police officer who's been serving the people in this county for 30 years. He's part of the thin blue line that's kept them safe. Obviously, it didn't keep the women that he was married to safe. And there's some other baggage that he brings along. And, of course, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. But, boy, is there anybody who thinks that he's innocent? If you do, please, oh, tell me why. AmericaTonight.net. But I don't think I'm going to get any takers on that one. Time for a knock-knock joke, as it's knock-knock Sunday. All right, ready for this, Matt Johnson? Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange, you?
Aren't you going to open the door?